Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of TNJ Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. We really appreciate you all tuning in this evening. It's your main man, T. Foster, with my brother, Jay Wells. How you doing, man?
I'm excellent, brother. Good afternoon, people. Hope you guys are having a great week.
Absolutely. Me as well. Hope everybody's having a great day. I'm having a tremendous day, week, and everything is great. So we're really happy to be here with you this evening. We just want to say thanks to everybody that has been tuning in over the last few weeks. We've seen our viewership go up substantially over the last few weeks, and we really want to just say thank you. We appreciate it, and tell a friend to tell a friend if you enjoy what's going on here on the program, and keep tuning in. We really are thankful. Tonight's activities is one that we're really looking forward to. It's Souls Running Wild, Modern Black Religion. And it's something that we really want to hit on because it's just a very important part of everyday life for most people, particularly in the black community. It's been a part of our DNA ever since we stepped on, you know, foot in America in particular. Obviously, it was before we got here, but we're talking about since we've been here in America, and modern being really since, you know, the 1960s moving forward. We only have 30 minutes, so we don't have a lot of time to go back and talk about slavery, time, religion, and things of that nature. But we really want to stick to, you know, the 1960s and moving forward and how religion has played a role in our culture, but more importantly, how religion played in Christianity, most importantly, because there was in the 60s a huge, huge surge in Islam and brothers and sisters being in the Nation of Islam and being Muslims because of Malcolm X and Louis Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad and those brothers and the movement that they put together. But that kind of fizzled out after the death of Malcolm X, and Christianity still reigns supreme in our community as the main religion that we all lean on. And today, 83% of African Americans self-identify as Christians. And so that's the main reason why we want to focus on Christianity. But more importantly, what role does it play in our lives? Because during those days, we had brothers and sisters in the pulpit calling for equality, calling for change, calling for social justice via Christianity and using their faith as a vehicle to bring our brothers and sisters into a better place. And one thing that we notice is that that's definitely not the case in modern society. You rarely go into a church and hear anything of that nature coming from the pulpit. And coming from, you know, anybody in the congregation for that matter. And that may sound like an overgeneralization, but we're, I think, being completely forthright with you all today. So this is a very heated, you know, topic for a lot of people, but we feel like it's one that's warranted and we're on the right track. So with that being said, I'll let my brother Jay Wells jump in here. Wells, what role do you feel the church plays in the black community currently?
Well, I'm going to start off with a couple of statistics that I got from the Pew Research Center's Forum on Religion and Public Life. And when it's looking at these, the stats aren't surprising, but, you know, it does bring a lot of things to light. First thing is almost 90% of black Americans express absolute certain belief in God, compared to just over 70% of the total U.S. population. 80% of black Americans report that religion is very important in their lives, as compared to 57% of the general U.S. population. And 55% of black Americans report they interpret scripture literally, as compared to 32% of the general U.S. population. So just off those numbers alone, it's safe to say that black people, more than any other culture, they love religion. You know, it's like, which it makes sense, though, due to our struggles throughout history, the oppression, all of those different things. So we, and with a lot of things, people turn to religion as a means just to get by, having something to believe in, and just giving you some form of hope. But at the same time, when you look at those statistics and you compare them to the statistics that display the plight of our community, from the crime statistics, the murder rates, and pretty much all the statistics that kind of are generally put with black areas, in the traditional sense, it's like you start to believe that the church in our community isn't getting the pulse of the people that it should. It's not helping people the way it could. And that's something that I really want to kind of discuss with you, Travis, is like, when you think about the church, like, what do you think is missing? Like, what do you think they're missing?
That's a wonderful question. And so I think this is a really open dialogue, and I hope that everybody listening, you know, really hears us out, because we are coming from a place of where we both have, you know, religious and spiritual backgrounds, and so we're not coming in this space where we're some atheists and kind of coming out here popping off talking crazy, but we do realize the substantial role that the church has played in our plight, and we feel that that needs to come back. And we had this conversation where the church has unquestionably, undoubtedly, the largest gathering of black folks in one place under one roof any day of the week, once a week. We can agree upon that. So on Sunday, you can't find more black people in one place anywhere than in a church. You multiply that times thousands of churches across the country, and we're sticking to America here just to keep it in context, because that's where we are, and it would go all over the place if we talked about the world. But you look at that gathering and how many folks are in those buildings, we're talking about millions upon millions. Yet and still, our conditions haven't changed from the Jim Crow era, essentially, to now. The crime rate in our community is virtually the same. The unemployment rate is virtually the same. The pregnancy rate, or actually the rate for unwed mothers, has skyrocketed since that time. It's, you know, children in the African-American community are being born out of wedlock at a rate of about 80% at this point in time. So we have all of these folks being brought to this one place, yet that message and that fire that we just talked about previously in the 1960s that was really being used to catapult our people, to put self-esteem into us, to put black pride into us, to put self-love into us, it's simply not there. And I think about the visual of, and you can see this at every church, you go in there and there's about 6 to 10 dudes sitting up at the pulpit. You know, you have your pastor, maybe a deacon or two, you know, a couple elders, but only one person talks. The pastor generally does, and when I say talk, I mean, you know, does the preaching. So the pastor does all the preaching, and then everybody else kind of sits there and watches him do his thing. So you can see how inept the process is in terms of how it's inefficient. You have all of these people that are there to save souls. They're being muted, essentially. They aren't being used properly, thus our souls, as the title of our show indicates, continue to run wild because there's only one person being utilized and that message isn't being put out there. And then I'll finish up with this, well, and you know I feel really strongly about this. I feel that the church is almost like a drug for our people at this point in time. And it's sad for me, and I would really like to see some major reform, and we'll talk about that in the solutions portion, where you show up on Sunday, you get this really good feeling, you jump around, the preacher says something that is general, has nothing to do with the plight of our people in the communities that we're facing, where he could take a Bible scripture and then relate that to the real situations that's going on in people's lives. He'll say something real general like, you know, your troubles will be over soon. Well, okay, you know, fine. You can say that to anybody. But, he, you know, so they take that, they give you that one situation to make you feel really happy, and then for a few hours you feel good like you would on a drug, and then you leave, you go back home to your situation, and you don't get that high again until you come back the following Sunday. And it's a very vicious cycle that I think we're in.
And that goes back to the traditional sense of the church. And if, when you think about it, for at least the last 60 to 80 years, man, it's like the tradition of the black church, it's like they've been feeding us the same songs, grape juice, Word is original. It's the same situation every church you go to, you know. And
right.
Instead of giving brothers and sisters tangible tools needed to fight the issues that we face every day in our community. I mean, you go home, you're not, it's like you go home and you have rats and roaches, your lights are out. It's only so much you can think about, you know what I mean? And that
yeah.
message that you just received is not sitting with you. It's like, it's similar to like the school system that teaches from old textbooks, using word problems and stories that children can't relate to. Many churches teach stories directly from a Bible that a lot of people can't relate to. And that leaves a lot of people conflicted and confused. Like, when you think about it, the average 14 to 21-year-old from the inner city can't relate to books, to stories from the Bible. You know what I mean? It's like they can't draw the correlation the way an adult man can. You know what I mean? It's like someone that's fully developed man can find things in the analogy to make it correlate with their everyday life. But the people that really need it, that 14 to 21-year-old age demographic, they're missing out on that. They're not making that connection. So I really think it kind of leads into the reformation that's necessary in the church to kind of connect with the people that need it the most. And I think that's where we get into the, like you mentioned, the cycle of people going, they get that temporary quick fix buzz, but then when they go back to their regular life, they can't apply that information that they've received. Like they don't know how to use that into their, they don't know how to incorporate that into their everyday life. And I think that's something where reformation within the church can go a long way as far as teaching people the skills necessary to kind of say, hey, you know, if this isn't working for me, I can find a new way I can adapt these principles that I learned through scripture or whatever and apply that to my everyday life.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing that I was having a conversation earlier, and I kind of said, you know, threw some things out on Facebook and Twitter, and I talked about the reluctant nature of change within the church, whereas how, you know, really what you just spoke to and how we'll always hear folks saying, well, we can't get young folks to come to the church, they aren't hearing the message, and all of those types of things. But the reluctant nature to change is why. When you look at it at its core, nothing has changed. I mean, we can literally walk into any church and see the exact same scene.
You would see
the exact same scene. Nothing has changed. And that's the reason why. If you continuously do the same thing, I don't care what it is, for years on end, and you start to continue to get the same result, which is not successful, naturally something within your person has to say, okay, I have to do something differently in order to spark the change or the difference that I want to see. And one of the main things that I notice is it's the age of the folks that are the main ones leading the show.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a great deal of things that can be learned from our elders, and so I'm not advocating pushing out elders within the church, but if you took a poll of most churches that you go to, just the age of the leadership or
65 and
people in general, I would probably say 60 and up. You know, there's no question. And but the thing is, they don't groom the next. They don't want to groom the next, you know, generation of leaders, and they don't want to let them do it in the way that it needs to be done. And I think that's a huge barrier when it comes to bringing in brothers and sisters the way that it needs that you know that it needs to go in order to move God's people forward. And more importantly, by moving God's people forward, you move the black culture forward. But if you can't move the people forward, you know, move God's agenda forward, which is love, essentially, then there's no way that you'll be able to move the black community forward.
I definitely agree with that. Because, again, you go back to the common saying, man, like, God is love. And it's all about spreading love. It's all about uplifting each other at the end of the day, right? So when you
right.
think about it, as society's evolved, the black church has been it's been essentially in the same place for the last 80 years or so. And that's and again, you're right, a lot of that does have to do with, I don't want to call them stubborn, but older leaders within the church that don't want to try new things. They don't want to allow young people who have grown up in the church that they've essentially raised implement ideas and use things that they've learned and try to use that. Because the thing is, we kind of talked about this the other day. The strength at the beginning of any movement always comes from the youth. You know what I mean? It's like you look at the Ferguson rallies, the Ferguson protests, and how that sparked so much national intrigue. Dude, that was from young people. The youth and that energy is contagious, you know? And mm-hmm. when you think about the church, it's always being led from the top down. It's being led by older people. And that's not always going to get the response within the community that you're looking for. And when you see guys like like a brother Ralph Godby in Detroit, dudes that are just more aggressive in their approach, and it's actually focused on mentoring and teaching, as opposed to just teaching. And again, scripture they are spiritually based, they're scripture based, but they're focusing more on mentoring and teaching instead of just giving someone old verses. You know what I mean?
Right.
And when you're actually teaching me something I can apply to my everyday life, you're showing me how to be a better man, how to be a better listener, how to actually listen to my woman, or how to learn from the people around me. You can apply that to your day to day, and that's one of the aspects of the church where people are lacking. That's so people are so busy being talked to instead of being taught, and I think that is one of the major issues. And it's gonna take it would take a serious major reform to kind of overhaul that mentality when you have decades and decades of people just going to the top of the pulpit and preaching. You go, and again, you go to a church, you're going to see the same thing. If I go to a church in Detroit or I go to a church in Baltimore, I'm pretty sure I'm going to find the same thing, the same scenario. You're going to get some praise and worship, an offering, a prayer, a scripture, and then a sermon on that scripture. The end. That's it. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's not. It has to become more than that on a daily basis. And people always want to mention like there's Bible study and things like that. And for most young people, they don't have that luxury of being able to attend all of those things to get that fixed during the week and things like that. And the thing is, the church itself has to do a better because I hate to say this, but when people are involved, they're more likely to learn. Like, you have to include people, and you can't have a situation where it's literally the same two or three people within the church just teaching and running the show. And you find that a lot at a lot of churches.
I think I remember the most eye-opening religious experience for me, and it, you know, it had nothing to do with going to an actual church, but more so of an approach, was when I first went away to college after leaving Detroit and going to so many different black churches in Detroit and seeing how literal, like you said earlier, black people took the church and how much more religious black people were than any of my peers that I came in contact with. I mean, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. You know, in our community, if you have a beer, you're going to hell. If you do anything, you're going to hell. It's no wiggle room. And I remember seeing all of my classmates, white folks and all of that, going to church and, you know, claiming that they were people, you know, God's children and all that good stuff. Man, and they were, you know, wilding out, doing whatever they wanted to do, and still went to church and still did everything they wanted to do. And then that's when it dawned on me that, you know, black people, the difference between the two and why I feel like the power shift has never happened in terms of us really getting where we need to be as a people. And I feel like, and, you know, folks can feel how they want to feel, but I feel like religion is a huge block for us because we put religion before race, and white folks put race before religion, just like my man Dr. Umar says. And that was what I was experiencing, is, you know, you cannot tell most of our people anything about God. Like, once you talk about God, man, it's over. Like, shut it down, you know, shut it down. It's over. If you said that to a person right now, you know, most of our brothers and sisters, they like, man, get out of my face. Like, you going to hell, you tripping. But, like, our inability to put our brothers and sisters first is really what keeps us last, because we can't love each other. So how can we say we love God if we don't love our brothers and sisters first? And we have to get to that point to where we look at each other first and love each other first, and then we can, you know, say that we're true Christians or what have you. But we don't even put each other first. It's like, no, God first. But that's true. But if you don't love your brother and love your sister, then you can't say God is first. And so I think that you know, dichotomy is extremely strange.
And it makes me think about what was that, school days, when Lawrence Fishburne said, I wish we believed in our people as much as we believe in religion. And I think it's more so the stuff, everything that comes with religion, more than God, though. It's like, I think a lot of people are just so caught up in the religious beliefs, and everything they believe goes into religion. They allow that to just alter thoughts and control their actions. But at the same time, they don't live by that. You know what I mean? It's like they pretend to, almost. It's like a facade. It's a religious facade that people are so used to putting on. They don't know how to – they turn it off when they feel like it. It's like they're religious when it's convenient. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like it's a convenience thing. But again, we're a solution-based program. I'm going to go ahead and kick off with a couple of solutions to this. And we've talked about it. We mentioned it earlier in the show, in the program, but the Black Church is the ultimate platform. It's the guaranteed place where you're going to find black people from every spectrum, people in the middle class, people in the poorest of the poor. You're going to find everyone there. And I think within the church, it needs to turn into more of a situation where we focus on the importance of loving ourselves, uplifting each other, and motivating each other to actually do better, instead of just the telling of old stories and things that people cannot relate to anymore. And once we focus on that, we can use the church as the ultimate platform to get rid of the self-hate and teach us how to love one another, trust your brother, believe in your brother. And once we get to that point where we're putting our people and uplifting our people the way other nationalities do it, that's when the church, the platform of the church, of the black church, will truly be respected by other people. Because the thing is, you look at politicians now, man, they do flybys into churches. They come wave, say hi, they're trying to get a vote. But the day our churches are used as a platform to speak for our people, that's the moment where they'll be respected to the way that they deserve to be.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's a wonderful point. You know, the church should be a place of worship and a place of, for black people, a place of where we come to share our plight and to rally more so than anything. But like well said, you know, TNJ Radio is solution-based radio, and I would like to share briefly one of my solutions, and mine is a little more radical, but briefly, I would call for overall reform in the whole setup of the church. So, for example, I would change the whole way it's set up when you came in the church. You know, I would have more Sunday school style setups and less cathedral style. I would prefer to come into a church and not sit in the big room with everybody in the room and take those deacons and those ministers and those elders off of the pulpit that aren't being utilized and have them almost have Sunday school style setups in other classrooms in the building where they sit and teach sermons based on scripture, but tie it into real life situations. So if you say thou shall not kill, then talk about thou shall not kill and talk about real killings in the community and why do we feel the need to do this and why we need to love each other and treat each other properly so that isn't happening on a regular basis in our community. I would like to see that be the main setup of the church. And then once you break out from that type of session, then everybody can come back together, you know, in the main cathedral for another round of that same thing from the pastor, but X out the whole Sunday school type of situation and have that as your main setup. You know, people need one-on-one because I feel like what happens is you come in and you can hide. And
what
we need to do is not allow our people to hide. It's okay to not have to bear all your personal ills and things that you're going through. That's fine. I'm not saying come in and have to tell all your business, but if you're in those rooms, you might have some things on your chest that you can get off that you can't get off in that big room. And so I think, you know, really changing the setup and empowering the people that you believe in to teach, to actually teach, but apply it to the community and force people to start thinking more civil rights based, more how do we get our people out of these conditions, and that should be the purpose of everything that you talk about, with God being the center of what you're talking about. I think that's the way to go.
And that alone, man, when you think about it, that's the ideal situation to uplift each other. And that's going to go a long way as far as creating a situation where people are comfortable speaking freely, learning from each other. And in smaller settings, we all know this, in smaller classrooms, no matter what it is, you feel more comfortable speaking and sharing. And because a lot of people, especially in large churches, like you mentioned, they hide themselves. They're afraid of letting things out that they don't want a classmate or someone that they know from the neighborhood. No, you know what I'm saying? So it's like it creates a much more comfortable situation. So I definitely agree with that, brother.
Absolutely. And it gives you an opportunity to form a real bond with the church. A lot of times you come into church and it's so many people there that you barely know anybody except the people that you came there with. Building more of a community through those smaller sessions and then bringing it back to the large session is, you know, another way to be solution-based in this type of situation. I guess we got about 10 seconds here, Wes. Anything else before we close out?
Man, pretty much God is love, man. You really want to focus on uplifting God, uplifting God's name, love your brother, spread love. That's the way to go.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Thanks again for tuning in to TNJ Radio, solution-based radio. We appreciate you listening. Once again, God is love. Take care. Have a wonderful evening.